the record?
Okay, we're ready to go. A little bit late, but that's okay. We just can't start these things early. So would you join me in a flag salute, please?
The flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This is a public meeting of the mayor and council of the township of Clinton, county of Hunterdon, state of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger. Would you call the roll, please?
Councilwoman Switwick, absent. Councilman Kuchinowski?
Here.
Councilman Malay is absent. Council President McTiernan?
Present.
And Mayor Higgins?
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right. We have a quorum, but not a supermajority.
Yep.
All right. The first item of business is honoring Kathy Seip, who is the longstanding chairwoman of our Open Space Committee. And the proclamation goes like this. Honoring Kathy Seip for her hard work and dedication to the Township of Clinton. Whereas, as of December 31st, 2017, Kathy Seip has served for 22 years as the chair of the Clinton Township Open Space Advisory Committee with both honor and distinction. And whereas, during her 22 years of service, Kathy has led the township's efforts to procure and preserve critical open space properties throughout the township for wetlands and aquifer preservation, recreation, and quality of life, resulting in 30 properties that are designated as open space, totaling over 2,000 acres, more than 3 square miles. Whereas Kathy Seip has forged Clinton Township links with private parties, nonprofits, the County of Hunterdon, the State of New Jersey, to position Clinton Township as a leader in open space preservation. Whereas Kathy's community organization efforts have enriched the township's knowledge and support for open space preservation, setting the stage for continuing progress in open space land preservation and management. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the governing body of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey, that Kathy Seip is officially recognized and honored for her dedication and passion over the past 22 years while working to make our community a better place to live for our families, friends, and future residents. And be it further resolved that we wish Kathy a long and healthy future to enjoy the Township's open space, so much of which she is responsible for. This resolution is hereby presented to Kathy Seip at the regularly scheduled council meeting on May 23, 2018, and shall become part of the official minutes of said meeting. So, Kathy, there you are. Congratulations and thank you.
Mm-hmm. Gotta get a picture.
Picture.
When you get up. Is this on the background? One more.
Oh, that's not cool.
Okay.
Can you move over here? Oh, that's
one.
Can you move over here?
There you are.
All right. Come on, come on, come on. Perfect. Can you do this?
Okay, back to the more humdrum business of the council. We're going to postpone the approval of meeting minutes from April 11 and 25 to the next session of council. So that brings us up to the consent agenda. And these are routine items which may be approved in one motion. The first is the annual approval for fireworks for the Immaculate Conception Festival, and there's a note attesting to the fact that the fire department will stand by just in case things don't quite go exactly where they aim them. And also approving a developer's agreement with the Baptist Camp and Conference Center, Block 3, Lot 13, Block 4, Lot 21. That comes as a result of a decision on the part of the Board of Adjustment. If I remember correctly, they are putting up another building there. So that necessitates a developer's agreement with the township.
I'll make a motion to approve those.
Second.
All those in favor?
Yeah.
No. Opposed or abstaining? Hearing none, it passes. Thank you. Okay.
We're trained well.
That was a long pause.
You got to have fireworks at the fair.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We're up to our first public comment period. If folks are here to talk about hyenas, we're going to cover that topic later on in a work session. So are there any other items of concern or worth comment from the public? Okay. We will move then to reports. And you're up, Mr. Kochanowski.
So the Environmental Commission hasn't met since our last meeting, to my knowledge. And the REC Committee, we won't talk about Community Day again because we know it's a success, but now they're gearing up for the summer REC program for the kids. And that's going to go off smoothly. I know they've interviewed kids, and they have their staff ready, and people will sign up, and it'll be like it is every year. Great. That's it.
Sounds good.
And nothing on finance.
Okay.
And nothing new.
And my only comments are from the May 7th Planning Board meeting held up here. And there are two things worthy of note. An updated housing plan element and fair share plan, a.k.a. affordable housing plan, was approved by the planning board at that hearing. And we also created, as is almost always the case, a special zoning district for a particular project known as the Marukian Project. And it's an ordinance that was found to be consistent with our master plan. So, again, that's a very routine item that the planning board does when we create one of these affordable housing zones. Otherwise, it was a pretty short, quiet evening. That's all I got.
We got the planning board. I did not attend as a member, well, actually, sort of did as a member of council, the Rotary, Hunterton Rotary Club meeting. Their luncheon was last Friday, and it's kind of rewarding to go to some of these meetings. They're recognizing the rescue squad from some work with the triathlon. But at the same time, what they did is awarded scholarships. And they awarded four scholarships to four students from Delaware Valley High School, North Hunterton High School, and four from Voorhees High School. And one of the nice things about that are when you get to go out and see some of the kids in the area is just what a great group of people we have that live in Hunterton County as far as the people supporting our community, such as the members of the Rotary, and more importantly, the members of the high schools that we have in the area, and the quality of the kids that are there really is just fantastic. An update on the K through 8 Board of Education or the Clinton Township Board of Education. This is more of a reminder than an update. On the 31st of this month, there is a meeting. I believe it's at 7:30 p.m. in the middle school. And what they are doing is presenting what their recommendations were or are in regards to looking at the potential to close a school or not to close a school. My understanding has been confirmed with a couple of people on the board. They will be voting on whatever that recommendation is at the end of the day. Rumor Central has it all over. I'm not going to repeat any of the rumors, but a lot of the teachers are kind of letting out what they think the decision is going to be on that, which is interesting. But the real scoop will come on the 31st of the month, and we'll have that settled or answered. Also, just a reminder that this weekend is Memorial Day. A lot of people gave their lives so we could have this meeting, and in the freedom that we have here, I just ask everyone to remember those people. Many of my friends didn't make it back. So, that's it.
I have two things. First, we have the food truck festival coming up in the park June 16th. Be half a dozen food trucks, a wine truck, and music at one park. That's the 16th. You know what time it starts? I don't recall.
2 or 4.
It's 2 or 4 o'clock, but it's on the webpage. The other thing is we We're about to have a new sergeant for the police department. Sergeant or Detective Anthes will be promoted after our rigorous process of selecting the new sergeants, and he's well-deserving. I'll get him sworn in and pinned tomorrow morning, but he wants to come in with his family at our next meeting to take photos and have you do it.
Sure.
And make it, you know, a nice photo thing. So it's good, good for him, and congratulations to Sergeant Anthes.
That's all. He was our backup OEM guy for a long time, besides everything else. Lieutenant Malski.
Yes, sir. On that note, do we have to do a formal resolution for that promotion? I'm just requiring to make sure that we, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we do, we'll do it retro. I mean, we
sounds good. Okay. I don't really have anything in addition to that. We did interview a group of men for the special class 3 position for the officers in the high school. I thought, in my professional opinion, had a lot of really good candidates, some people with children in the school, retired officers, which very appealing to me because, you know, they're going to be very protective if, you know, unfortunately something should happen. But a lot of local residents who are retired officers. So I would suggest that we kind of move on that because the school's been asking and, you know, the program's off the ground, and like I said, we have some really viable, good candidates. I do have some information regarding the complaints at, on Murfield and on Glen Eagles, but, you know, I'll hold that until the public comment.
Sounds good.
Tonight is the public hearing for the 2018 budget. We have our auditors here as well, Warren Karacki, and I understand we're not going to be voting on the budget, but the public hearing is still going to be tonight as advertised.
That's correct. We're going to open it, and since we noticed as if we were going to vote on it, we'll take any comments from the public. And for folks that don't know, do you need a supermajority, 4 votes out of 5 council members to approve a budget, unlike most other items? And so we will defer the vote until continue the vote until next week. We'll find a morning, have a special council meeting. Since any discussion will happen tonight, the public will have a chance to be heard, and then we'll find a day and time that works for all 5 council people so we have all 5 votes recorded. So I would anticipate that'll be next week.
Well, John.
Yeah.
Just a quick note, in order to carry it without having to send out a new notice and everything else, you have to have a specific date and time.
7th? I thought we were looking at the
7th. 7th. Thursday, we can have it Wednesday because of court.
Right. Okay. It's a Thursday. So
Thursday.
7th,
Thursday.
Yeah.
30.
Yeah. Is that right?
Sure.
Okay.
And that gives us adequate time for notice?
Yeah.
Or rather, we don't need notice.
No, we do.
We have re-advertise.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I'll send it to the paper tomorrow.
Fair enough. Okay. Very good. So now we're up to resolutions. The first resolution is authorizing the hiring of a deputy court administrator, Kimberly Reno. And, Jess, you're the prime mover on that.
Yes. Our current or former deputy court administrator got promoted. She got her own court in the southern part of the county, East and Delaware Township Joint Court. And we're sorry to see her go. She did a great job, but she's getting a promotion, and her commute goes from about 40 minutes to 5 minutes. So she's very happy. So we're happy for her. This Kimberly was here before. She went on and to another position. She's coming back. She wanted to come back home. So we're very pleased to have her, too. She's very qualified. She can't wait to get going.
Okay. Any discussion?
Motion.
I'll second.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
And the next item is hiring a full-time foreman for Public Works. And James Burke is the gentleman's name. This has been in the works for some time.
Jay needs the help. Yes. We've got a lot going on, and Jay's picked up a lot more responsibility, as you're aware, with planning and coordinating things, and we need a foreman out on the road to push guys. He's very qualified, comes highly recommended, and he's excited. He's got all his paperwork. He's ready to go, and you know, I think Jay's ready for him to be.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, getting office space ready to get him moved in and going.
Got him a phone, a desk, and everything. He's ready.
We're ready.
So we're pleased to have James.
He's got big shoes to fill.
Had a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been hearing a lot of comments about DPW in the last couple of weeks. All of them very, very positive.
That's good to hear.
People talking about leaf pickup, some of the special things that are done in particular neighborhoods for people over snow removal and that. Mm-hmm. But very, very positive comments about what the work you guys have been doing.
Good. I know the guys try hard, especially during snow. It's nice to hear compliments on that, but for sure.
And it's not one or two. It's been a bunch.
Right. Good.
All right.
Make a motion.
I'll second it.
Councilman Kuchinowski?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Now we're up to the action part of the agenda. The first item is the introduction of an ordinance. This is Ordinance 1115-18. An ordinance authorizing the conveyance of a six-acre portion of the Marukian site, Log 82, Lots 4 and 4.03, for the development of a 100% affordable housing development. This has been in our plan for quite some time. It's an 84-unit, 100% municipally sponsored affordable housing project. It'll be located set back from Highway 31, we hope, behind that first tree line, and it'll be basically in the backyard of all trades in terms of north-south location. The deadline for applying for the financing, which we very much want, so-called 9% tax credit financing, is July 25th. So we are in a bit of a stretch run to do all of the various ordinances and agreements with the selected developers, Pearl, a company out of Cleveland, and who's built a significant amount of affordable housing. So I'm sure there'll be a few more similar items before council and certainly before the planning board before this July. So that's the background on this. Any discussion or comments?
I think it's always important to note that the affordable housing that we're putting together now really is the direction of the state Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
That this is something that communities have been forced to do, whether we have the market demand or need for them or not. We've got to do it based on the direction of the courts. And as the direction of the courts, we had a choice of either fighting further and accepting a judge's determination or coming to a previous agreement. And we came to that previous agreement prior to getting a judge's decision. And that turned out to be a blessing in disguise, being significantly lower than what the judge's decision would be on number of units. So while we are doing this, I still have a question and still have a concern that we're being forced to do this by the courts. I'm not convinced the market supports it, that all of these units are going to be built. The main reason for that is the developer is not going to build a building if there isn't any market demand. And when I look around at the communities that are around here, we've got to build 337. Clinton Town's got to build 150. Reddington's got 1,000, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I still question where all these people coming from. So I think some of this is going to be good for the town and will help out some people. But the vast majority of what we've got here, I think, is a little bit excessive, my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Our goal was to have us have say in negotiating a number, but also ensuring that we locate these developments in parts of the township that are least disruptive to established neighborhoods. As I say, this one is on a piece of land that will be, I hope, tucked away off of Route 31 and sort of an enclave west of the highway. So we will see. This is the second project, and in fact, this project is split. We have an irrevocable obligation from before 1999, totaling 355 units. Beaver Avenue project, which should be under construction shortly on the old Beaver Mansion parcel, that satisfies a portion of the 335, and about half of this project goes to that 335, and about half of the project goes to our new obligation, which runs from 1999 to 2025. So 84 units, there's some bonus credits in here because it's rentals, but it's our first sort of a half step, if you will, into the prospective requirements.
It's important to note, too, John, I think that the language in here is 100% affordable.
Yeah.
If it wasn't 100% affordable and it was a 10% participation from a developer, we'd be building 820, 840 units. 20%, we'd be building over 400 units. The 100% affordable keeps this to as minimally as we can as a construct within the township.
Yeah, small footprint. You do these projects, there's always a risk, and that's why we have a sort of a balanced portfolio. Our overall plan includes two 100% affordable projects, but the financing for these are through the federal government through two kinds of low income tax credit financing modalities. There's a 4% tranche, which is almost as of right, that pays for about 30% of the project cost. The 9% tranche is what we're pursuing. That's the deadline in July. That pays for 70% of the project cost. There's a very significant difference. If we don't get the competitive financing, the township will have to bond for this project. So it's a nice small footprint, but it does come with some financial risk to the township. We have two projects in our overall portfolio that are inclusionary. One is a 20% set aside. One is a 26% set aside. Those projects are a larger footprint, but they don't present a financial risk to the township. So we tried to balance the portfolio in that regard. So, and the number that we have looking out to 2025 is 337. Just an FYI, if Judge Jacobson's opinion and methodology prevails, she was the judge in a pivotal trial in Mercer County, and she's the first court to offer a formula for determining obligations. We would have had, by their methodology, 551 units. I have no idea really how we would fit them into the township. We took, again, a measured risk and negotiated a better arrangement, which the courts have accepted, down from 551 to 337. So those are all the facts behind this particular action that I can think of, at least. So any more discussion or concerns? In that case, I'll make the motion.
Second.
Councilman Kutchinowski?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Okay. We are now, as I said, we can digress from the, divert a little bit from the agenda. I can do the budget discussion at the tail end, presumably. Okay. Let's continue on with ordinances then. Next up is public hearing for the adoption of an ordinance, and this is Clinton Township Ordinance 1112-18. An ordinance amending Section 97-3 Uniform Construction Code, Fee Schedule of the Code of the Township of Clinton, New Jersey. This is an update for a variety of to a variety of fees, putting us obviously they're going up. It puts us, more even with many of our surrounding townships. We do this periodically. So I will open the public hearing. If the public have any comments on this particular ordinance, please come forward. I don't see any motion out there, so we'll close the public hearing. Any discussion on the part of council?
There are no new fees, are there?
No, these are just updates.
Just updates to existing fees.
Yeah. Okay, I don't hear any.
Motion.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Councilman Kutchinowski?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Yes. Next up is also the adoption of an ordinance, and this is a bond ordinance number 1113-18, a bond ordinance providing for various 2018 capital improvements by and in the Township of Clinton in the County of Hutterton, State of New Jersey, appropriating $1.383 million, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $1,317,000 in bonds or notes of the township to finance part of the cost thereof. This is kind of an omnibus bond ordinance. There are some precursor work in it for the township DPW site, cleaning up an old house, doing some repairs, positioning that site for the erection of a respectable garage. The one that we have now, I wouldn't put in that category. Also, $910,000 for the installation of siding and roofing on the garage building and paving various roads, and I think Jesse and Jay have some comments on that. And a utility vehicle for the K-9 unit for the police department, some long-needed painting in the hallways and courtroom here. This is the courtroom as well. And over in recreation, a pole barn and the conversion of basketball courts to tennis courts at Bunn Park. And for the fire department, the acquisition of defibrillators and a cascade breathing system. Cascade system is a very high-pressure air compressor used to recharge SCBA bottles for the fire department. And a non-passenger command vehicle, probably a Tahoe or something like that, for the chief or the deputy chief. So those are the items in there. I will, any discussion from council first, and then?
I just want to add that, you know, Brian Millay and I worked with Leonard on this a while back. We looked, it's not like Leonard just came up with a list of things that the people in the township wanted. That's how it starts. But then we go through it and we ask questions and, you know, we pull all the weeds out that we think and we fine tune it. So in my opinion, there's no fat in here. We made, you know, a little bit of adjustment to maybe get the tennis courts started earlier, and that's what we're doing. And I have full confidence that this money will be well spent for the public to enjoy.
I would agree. So we'll open the public hearing on this. If there's any comments for the public on this ordinance.
Jay, do you want to talk about the roads?
Yeah.
Near to everybody's heart, you know, everybody complains about their road in particular. We can't do them all at once, so we've gone through and come up with a plan for this year. Last year is up there is in the orange. The green is for this year, and it's based on various things. We have to have time to prepare the roads for the paving, so we can't just do everything at once. Some of the roads entail a lot more work. There's drainage work, storm drains to be done, and then we'll schedule the pavement for right after school. So July and August, we'll get the paving done this year and be done. And go ahead.
We're hoping to finish. Stanton Mountain should be going.
Yep.
We have over in the list of screen over here, Harvest Court, Deer Meadow Development. Over there, the roads have been long overdue for being milled. We're going to mill and overlay. Most of these roads we're doing now, the base course is still in solid shape, so we can mill and overlay off of Morris County Co-op, which is much cheaper than coming in contract to do a total reconstruction. All the drainage work on all these roads is going to be done in-house to save a large amount of money. We have a list of, like I said, over here. We have Harvest Court, Movis Place, Melody Lane, Deer Meadow Development again, River Bend, Center Street over by McDonald's, which was on for last year, so that's this year now. Country Club Drive, that will be one of the last ones we do. We have a large amount of drainage work to be done over there, so that will put at the end of our paving schedule for this year. Valley Crest right out here, I'm not sure how many people come down Valley Crest from the county road all the way down to 31. Circle Drive, Deer Path, which connects to Old Mountain. We're going to do the entire length of Old Mountain. The beginning section, I think, was 1986, somewhere in that neighborhood. The last time that was done.
Yeah.
So it'll be the entire length of it. Main Street over behind Stewart's, we get a ton of complaints. It's really bad shape too, that one. Again, Charlotte, Ivanhoe, and Camelot Court off of the county road over by Round Valley School. That was what we have in mind for this year, 2018. Try not to plan too far out from this year and give anybody any false hopes where it's deteriorating different rates. So we're just going to look at this year for now. I have an idea for years in the future, but I don't want to commit to anything. So.
And there are a couple other roads we'll be doing in-house, smaller roads that we can do. We don't have to contract. We can go out and fix up.
Get a paver and we can do in-house paving on smaller jobs.
So we'll be keeping Public Works busy.
Yeah, very good. you guys have been out trimming trees on all these roads. I don't know if anybody lives in any of the trimming yards out. We generally get a lot of complaints, but everybody's been very happy trying to get everything cut back to prepare for the meeting. So hopefully they'll all be done. done before school.
Jay, how many square miles of roads do we have in Clinton Township?
It's just over 100 miles of roads in Clinton Township. It's a lot of roads. We've been through it most along, keeping up with last year. Everything in orange was last year. We did Potterstown Road, Hadler, Orchid, Ramsey, Haytown Road. We did most of Sand Hill, Molasses Hill. So we've, and the beginning half of Stanton Mountain. So we've really been moving forward with getting our roads back in shape.
Good. Yeah. Good. Thanks.
Before I close the hearing, any comments from the public?
Can you put a 2-inch base or a 4-inch base in the road?
We're taking 2 inches off. The base that's in on these roads now is 4-inch, so we're not taking the base out. We're just taking the top off and replacing the top course.
And this is actually
standard? Yes.
Anyone else? All right, let's close the public hearing and get a motion.
Get to continue.
You don't have the votes, do
you? You need 4.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We'll have I forgot.
So you need to adjourn this.
We'll do both. Right. They're twins.
Yes.
All right, fair enough.
So will that be the same night as
yeah.
the...
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
June 7th, 8:30.
Yeah.
8:30 a.m.?
A.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that offers us the best chance of getting everybody together. Okay, now it's time for the budget. So let's open the public hearing on
you.
And you're on.
Okay, so the budget for 2018, for the record, the total budget is $12,586,697. The dollar increase is $820,412.24. The township average home assessment for 2018 is $397,332, and the average tax bill is $10,080. So the increase is about $152 per household for the 2018 budget, about 1.5% of the total tax bill. The largest increase for 2018 is the debt service because we went we took out a permanent bonding back in beginning of 2017, and we added more to our capital improvement fund because of the road paving projects. We need additional down payments for those projects. And the pension for 2018 is about $44,000 in total for the increase.
So would it be correct if I said, just very roughly, we're up 800, 600 is debt service, and 200 or so is operating expense?
Correct.
Okay. Any discussion on the part of the public or council?
No.
I have a
question. Sure. Please, could you identify yourself?
Forward.
Yeah. Just so we get you on the mic. And just give us your name and we're all set to go.
Sure. Details.
Oh, can you say your last name again? I'm sorry.
And just a question regarding the impact of taxes. Did you say 150 on average?
On average, household, yes.
Is that 150. Total tax, or are you talking
just the municipal portion.
Okay.
Just the township portion.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Anybody else? All right. I will close the public hearing and we'll continue this to next week, along with the bond issue. So it looks like we're up to the point that everybody's, or most of the audience has been waiting for. This is a work session. From time to time, both council, planning board, and sometimes the Board of Adjustment have what's called a work session. It's a relatively informal get-together. We'll ask for names and that sort of stuff if you come up and make comments. But it's designed to be a discussion about concerns and potential solutions to concerns. And for those that haven't lived through the Hyannis history. I guess the good news is Trishka Waterberg, Trishka Cecil, the name on me. Trishka is our attorney of record who sort of fought the battle, if you will, in 2012 and 13. And I was the planning board chair at the time as well. So the two of us have been to the Ag Board meetings, for instance. And it was the first time that the Ag Board sent an applicant up to the township, up to any township in the county, to be subjected to at least a portion of the land use rules in the township. Not all of them, but at least some of them. And we were able to at least understand and have them commit to a specific design of the build-out and have that build-out executed in a reasonably efficient way. For folks that know the history, I'm repeating myself probably, but they also had some significant, during the construction disturbed the wetlands in a significant way. The Ag Board retained jurisdiction over that, and we had wanted a traffic study. The Ag Board, in their opinion, did not require a traffic study. Because of the Right to Farm Act, the County Ag Board, the CADB, has the jurisdiction when it comes to commercial farms and farming activities under the Right to Farm Act. So the township's capabilities are very limited in what we can and cannot do. So that's a sort of a brief appraisal, a synopsis of what went on in 2012 and 13. There were several hearings down at the county. There were several planning board hearings, and there were some stipulations placed on the operation. But we basically don't have a say in the size of the operation or the impacts of the operation. So did I say that reasonably?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, you did.
So if people have questions, comments, concerns, come on up, identify yourself, and we'll be happy to provide whatever additional information we have.
Yes.
Okay. And I should say, Lieutenant Melski is also ready to talk about police powers and what the police have observed in two instances, two assignments in the neighborhood. While you're doing that, how about some names?
Yeah, if you could bear with me for 1 second.
Sure.
I'll introduce myself in a second. What you're going to see here, before I present it to you, is the actual impact that it's had on the development with the considerable truck traffic. As I'm sure you're well known, my name's David Penna. Most of you are probably familiar with me. I've been the spokesman for a period of time in regards to this. I've been here from the very start. It's almost 7 years now. I have to thank you for quickly after the neighborhood got together to hear us and see us in reference to our concerns, okay? Like you said earlier, Mayor, the...
And just a second, the gentleman in the red shirt.
Oh, I'm Steve Tenacious. Okay. I live in Muirfield.
Can you spell your last name?
K-N-E-I-Z-Y-S. It rhymes with Tenacious.
You said that with a certain accent.
As you had said, Mayor, earlier, that you've been here from the beginning. That was a decent synopsis up to a certain point. Trishka as well. You were there in the beginning for the fight, which dissipated, as time went on. Tom, I don't see, where's Tom? Tom's not here tonight. Sylvia?
No.
As a zoning official in the many hats that he wears in the township, I've worked with him very often. He actually stated that he has a folder on his desktop specifically for me with, to deal with my complaints. As you can see, this is the neighborhood here. I'm not the only complainer. I was simply the spokesman. He had stated the last time I spoke with him that I was the only one that was complaining. The only one.
Is that why I got a bunch of letters from different folks?
Uh-huh. That is correct.
Okay.
Because, as you can see, I'm not alone. Now, Hyonas has a train of thought as well that it's also just me. We were at the bus stop a few weeks ago, and it was shortly after, about 2 weeks after the letter that I sent you. And he pulled up, rolled down his window, and he said, "Why do you hate me?"
Who's he?
This is Spiros Hyonas, one of the owners. I said, "Excuse me?" This is at the bus stop with the children arriving and everything like that. And I said, "I don't hate you. I hate your business." And we went on to say, he goes, "You're the only one that complains. You're the only one that has a problem with us. Why don't you just move?" That's what he told me. He said, "I was here first. Why don't you move?" That's what he told me. So it got spirited. Carrie Pesafaro, she was present. She saw it all, and it came to a certain point where she couldn't take it anymore as we were bantering back and forth in a controlled way. And she stepped in, and she exclaimed to them, "It's not that he hates you. It's not him. It's all of us." And there's good reason. There's good reason for it all. Jed, do you have that?
Do not have that video. The environment in the neighborhood has changed, to say the least. It's become hostile or volatile in some ways.
Just as a picture, it's a heavy-duty tow truck, wrecker service, removing the box truck, the Enterprise box truck, that they, I don't know how, ripped the roof off. They went through a low ceiling or something on a bridge. They had it towed to that property rather than the Connington Road property and removed the following day. And at the time, the bus was coming through.
You know what I'm saying?
Whoa. Wow.
He almost ran right into the back of the car. And listen to what ensued.
Well, that sucks, huh? Oh, geez, he's gonna...
Now, Jed's moving.
Wow.
Very quickly, because he was about a foot and a half away from his back bumper.
Video that.
Yeah. What did you just say to him?
This is the tow truck. Now,
before the presence, before they brought it up to speed, before they had over 6,000 trucks per year,
that language wouldn't have been present in the neighborhood. That atmosphere wouldn't be present in the neighborhood, which that example right there shows, one, the change in the quality of life, two, clearly the safety that's being affected, okay? And as we know, those are two exemptions or disqualifiers that from the shield of the Farmers Act. Okay?
I have a question, sir.
Yes.
Who was I listening to on the tape?
That was Jed. You hear me?
And the tow truck driver. He started.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, he knows what a full-size heavy-duty wrecker is.
No,
it's a crane. Is what it is.
More curious about who I was listening to, that's all.
Okay. So the reason why we're here is we're looking for relief, and that's what I explained to you. Relief in a number of ways, specifically for the safety. Okay, and I can give you a dozen different ways that our safety has been jeopardized in the neighborhood. In your letter, you stated that the police, you've witnessed it in our neighborhood. You've witnessed the trucks going very slowly. The police actually verify that. And that wasn't the point of my letter. The point of my letter was not that they were speeding. There's few that do. When they come in bobtailing and they don't have the trailers on, and, you know, there was one probably estimated about 50 miles an hour in Muirfield. And I don't know how you get a bobtail up to 50 miles an hour, but he did. But an example would be, and I shared it the other day, is that my son almost got run over. Okay? And you said it's not a safety issue with the speed or anything like that. Listen, a glacier will kill you if you stand there long enough. Okay? My son, it was in the fall. He was playing in a leaf pile at the bus stop about a foot off the curb, directly across from the intersection of exiting Muirfield onto Glen Eagles, making a left-hand turn. It wasn't even a tractor trailer. It was a 26,000-pound box truck, one of Hyonis' trucks. He was making the left-hand turn, and if you're familiar with the area, you have to take the entire roadway, the entire intersection, and cover the whole thing. And when they make the turn, the wheel is almost touching the curb. We were talking, and luckily enough, a 15-year-old happened to be at the bus stop and saw my son's head pop up out of the leaf pile as the truck missed him by 3 feet, and we stopped him. Okay? That's the tragedy that we're trying to abate today. Okay? That's the tragedy that I am warning you is going to happen. That's the tragedy that I don't want our police department to have to knock on our door and say, I'm sorry, okay, and report the news. And as I said in my letter, your first and foremost responsibility as a council is to assure the safety of the residents, okay? And we've made plea after plea after plea at every single level, whether it's here, and I'll give you the history. You went down some of it.
I did.
To the town in 2011, I went and reported that they were building unlawfully. Okay, they were moving soil like you couldn't believe. Soil Conservation shut them down. You shut them down. DEP shut them down. So they went to the CADB for the hearing, getting their SSIMP for a commercial farm. They made the resolution there, and put certain stipulations that, as far as we couldn't have a traffic study. We couldn't discuss the trucks. We couldn't discuss the time of operation or the frequency. Okay? Now, obviously, that's the crux of the argument. That's the crux of the safety. That's the crux of the quality of life issues. Okay? So we did our research. At that time, we had an attorney. We appealed to the SADC. Okay? That's the appropriate way to go. That's the movement that it has to make. So we go there, although the town, you as the town, moved forward despite the appeal and moved on to approve the site plan and make a resolution. Okay? I'm not going to get into legal arguments, but we're now at the OAL, and we were granted a de novo hearing. Now, this was about 2.5 years ago. At that point, Hyonis made a motion for summary judgment, which was denied. Hyonis appealed, went into an interlocutory review with the SADC. They said they never made an application according to the SADC stated that they never made that application. They went in front of the committee, but they never made the application. And now at this point, we're pushed out again for another 6 months for a conference call in October with the judge for the OAL, which we've probably every 3 to 6 months had another conference call. So you can see as time goes on, you know, they continue to grow the operation, As we all know, they put telephone poles up and everything by JCP&L through the flag post driveway that they're supposed to use from the 1971 resolution. That brings it back to their property. They did go through the wetlands, and if you saw it, because they had to stand the poles and they put the cranes back there and they moved through and they went through the creek bed and they went through. If you're going to do all that and you're going to tear it up, why not just let them use the flag post driveway that dissects the creek?
They can't. You know that, and I know that.
That's not true. They have a letter from when we were in the litigation that actually said when they make restitution that they can make application for the crossing. It's in the letter.
Right. And how are you going to force them to make it unless SADC, let me get it right, SADC forces them?
Mm-hmm.
It's not something we as a township can push them to do. The SADC mm-hmm. would have to do that. And DEP would have to bend on their rules.
Okay, and that's in your retort to my letter.
Correct.
And it says you're prohibited to cross a C1 stream when there is any other practical access.
Correct.
Now, practical is a strange word, okay? Because practical to me means easy. Okay? It's the easiest way to get through.
This is me writing at home at 10 o'clock at night. This is not me as a lawyer choosing words.
Right.
When there's another access, basically, mm-hmm. that's what you've got to use instead of crossing the stream.
Although, if you want to make argument on it, the fact that they're under the shield of the Farmers Act, and that's why they're getting this leniency. But as Triska, and you can comment on this, there's three exemptions. The third I don't know because it really doesn't matter to us. The two exemptions that they would lose their shield is the fact of the quality of life and the safety, okay? And that would force them to abide by the local ordinance and make a change. So in that, I'm clearly showing you that there's safety and quality issues, quality of life issues.
This isn't the body that can make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's the county board or the state agriculture development committees.
Right, that's why we're here, okay? And I can see surprise on some of your faces here because you don't know the whole about here. What we're asking, not only for you, if there's an opportunity to give us relief, but to help us, you as a town have more authority than we do as the singular residents in a neighborhood opposition, okay? You have connections. You can talk to, senators and, the Secretary of Agriculture, the SADC, anybody that's available to listen and fight the fight with us because you can clearly see there's an issue here, okay? Listen, this right here, these pictures, and I'll give you, there's not one duplicate in here, and I want you to guess the timeline. I'll spread them out a little bit. Not one duplicate, they're broken down into individual days as they're paper clipped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Who has the top one?
I got
you. What's the dates on there? We have from March 21st to May 13th.
Mm-hmm.
That's these. Do you know how many reams of paper this is?
I wouldn't want to be buying the color toners for it, that's for sure.
There's over 1,500 in that short period of time. 1,500. I could break it down even more to you if you wanted to. But that right there, you can't tell me in any situation. Any situation, any neighborhood. I'm on a four-house dead-end street that had a cul-de-sac before there, crossing into a 31-house subdivision. That this is safe. This type of traffic, this commercial truck traffic, with tractor trailers, the 26,000-pound box trucks. Every 20 minutes, I believe it was, my wife timed it out as. That is probably going against 31 and 22 for commercial vehicles. right? To have that type of activity.
Yeah, 22 probably.
Yeah.
31's a nightmare.
Right. But 22, to rival a state highway on a residential street, you can't tell me that that's not a safety issue.
I understand the issue. I just don't think we can do very much about it. Now, I'm perfectly willing to see what I can do personally with getting your hearing, speaking with the administrator for the agency down in Trenton. Happy to do that as much as I can. But I'm not aware of a regulation or a stipulation that would enable someone to force Hyonas to put in an alternative entrance.
Okay.
And that alternative entrance would, of course, be off of Blossom Hill, the flat.
Right, and I'll present other alternatives as well as we get into this. The police department has responded on numerous occasions, okay? And when I wrote your letter, if you read it, I think it was the end of the second page or the top of the third, it stated a bunch of different reasons why the trucks idling, berthing overnight, and things like that. That was precursor to a week and a half later when we had Nova Scotia show up. It was a tractor trailer from Nova Scotia, came in at 9:30 at night, which isn't that uncommon anymore, pulled in the pitch black, stopped in front of my house. It's all on my ADT cameras. Moved up. He didn't know where the hell he was. He didn't know where to go. So he parked and he berthed overnight. Can you imagine having tractor trailers not allowed to enter into those gates? The police department doesn't have Hyonas' numbers to respond from Greenbrook, so that way they can let somebody in. It's in the resolution that they're not supposed to stand, idle, or sleep in the roadway, and they continue to do it. And do you know what we found out that night? Exactly what I told you guys when we were in the resolution process. That, in fact, who is going to enforce it? Police department can't. Never enacted an ordinance. Well, and even if we do enact an ordinance, guess what? It's a farm. And you're going to hide behind that? How would you feel if a tractor trailer slept in front of your house?
Why don't you stop for a second and let us talk? First of all,
okay.
Lieutenant Melski's got some observations, but one of the things, one of the letters I responded to, it would seem to me that we are able to provide parking regulations and enforce parking regulations. The police department, it's not just DEP that enforces the idling rule. Police have authority to do that as well. So if we were to take an action, this body were to take an action, I'd recommend, and my thought was in scheduling this work session, that we would talk about what kind of parking restrictions. First of all, we can't be accused of disparate enforcement. We can't just persecute the tractor trailer and, you know, not ticket another commercial vehicle, please.
Well, my question was when they responded was, if I slept in front of your house, you would ask me to move, right?
No.
I slept in my car in front of your house, you would feel safe and secure.
It doesn't matter whether I feel safe and secure. What matters is there a law or an ordinance that allows the police to take an action like that? Mm-hmm. And the answer is there isn't at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question while it's fresh on our mind. So that Nova Scotia truck, he parked there because it was convenient to where he was going. Let's say you convince him to leave, and now my question is to you, Officer Melski. If that truck decided to come to my cul-de-sac and park there overnight at 10 o'clock at night, my wife would say, hey, there's a truck there, a big truck, right? Tractor trailer.
53-footer, yeah.
I would call the police right away, and I would report it.
Yes.
I wouldn't confront the guy. So my question is, what would you do with that report from me to Pine Place,
You'd have
Ohio.
A police officer respond. You'd have a police officer obtain identification. You'd ask them why they're there. And then in order to take enforcement action against them, there would have to be an ordinance saying no parking on Pine Place.
Which there is not.
Okay.
But there's no ordinance that says that, right? So if he told you, I've got to make a delivery over at Blossom Hill, he would be allowed to stay there.
Yes. I mean, I can't answer your question but what authority would the police have then to say you must move?
Right. No, I just want to get clear.
Well, yes. considering
like I wanted to take the greenhouse property out of the equation.
No, considering the fact, my background is all, I would consider it a suspicious person to be at the very least. Okay.
Correct.
Everybody remembers, and I hate to bring it up, Bloomsbury Borough. Okay. That's still on A&E, and there's, my classmates are all being interviewed on that consequences because Nick Oriello and Justin Blackwell investigated it. Okay. That gentleman was a serial killer that got caught in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who's to say somebody's not the next one? They're allowed to birth in front of my house.
Can I address that? As you're probably aware, there used to be a statute on the books in New Jersey titled Failure to Give a Good Account of Yourself.
Yeah.
What became of that statute?
Mm-hmm.
It's unconstitutional. Why? Because the police can't go up to someone who's not breaking the law and take enforcement action against them.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay.
So there's no parking regulation that prevents them from staying in front of my house or Mr. Penna's house.
And for the record,
that's what brings up John's point about some sort of parking regulation.
I think we should design one.
Right.
I mean, it would take three signs, one at both streets coming off of Blossom Hill and one at the corner of Muirfield and Glen Eagles.
So is it no parking or just for trucks?
Well, that's the debate.
Yeah.
What's the best way of doing this that's also legal? I'm a simpleton, so I say to myself, no parking of commercial vehicles allowed between the hours of thus and such. That may or may not be legal. One can also issue decals to people that live in the neighborhood, come up
parking
with a
permits.
Yeah, well, parking decal. They do that in Somerville, for instance. And if you got local property owners parking from this point to that point, but something like
that. Do you realize what this sounds like? The fact of the matter that we're discussing